This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. In July of 2018, Nikki Collin was in the seventh week of her first season as a head basketball coach at any level. And her team, the WNBA's Atlanta Dream, was not off to a good start.
I think we knew that there was going to be a learning curve. I just don't think that you show up and have 3 weeks of training camp or 2.5 weeks of training camp and figure it all out.
The WNBA regular season is short, just 34 games. And through the first half of 2018, the Dream's record was hovering around 500. Then came Atlanta's home game against the Seattle Storm on July 6th.
Seattle takes this one away. Stewart to Howard.
We just weren't in tune to the game plan. And for the first time all season, I just really felt like we were bad.
Lock off. Seattle will dribble out the remaining time here. And the Dream fall a game under 500 at 8-9.
All of this might have been enough to derail another rookie head coach. But Nikki Collin knows how to be patient. She's had a lot of practice at it.
And we turned around and beat Phoenix in the next game, and it was a big win against a Griner and a Taurasi and some of these giants of our league. And that began an 8-game winning streak, which is the longest in franchise history, and they just got more and more confident.
How exactly did a rookie head coach have the confidence to help her team find their confidence? For that story, we have to go back to the early 80s.
Well,
nice to know she's human, isn't it?
Nikki Collin was in the third grade, and even though she lived in Indiana, her game was tennis. When she wasn't dreaming about becoming an astronaut, she thought she was going to be the next Chris Evert.
I can remember Sunday mornings, like climbing into my parents' bed and watching the French Open. You know, I think that's where I thought my life was headed until we made an abrupt move from Indiana to Wisconsin in the fourth grade.
Nikki's family moved a lot, from Michigan, where she was born, to Ohio, Indiana, and then Wisconsin. Every time the family moved, it was because Nikki's father, who started as an accountant, had moved a little higher up the corporate ladder. The family home in Wisconsin wasn't near any tennis courts, but it did have a concrete driveway with a steel pole hoop. Pretty quickly, Nikki took to dribbling around, just for fun.
You know, I have one of those fathers that, you know, you don't do anything without a plan. And so very quickly it became dribbling around cones so that we could develop the right form and do things the right way. And, you know, I kind of learned the game very fundamentally.
Nikki got good. Really good. When she was in high school, she was recruited to play college ball by a coach named Tom Collin.
I'm assuming we're here to talk about her more than talk about
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Tom says Nikki was a perfect fit for Purdue University.
You could just see a lot of heart, a refuse to lose kind of attitude all the way back then. And so that's what I fell in love with. And I had no idea that I'd fall in love in a different way somewhere down the road.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Tom never got the chance to coach Nikki at Purdue. By the time she arrived, he had moved on to another school. Nikki stayed at Purdue for 2 years before she transferred to Marquette. She says her goal was always to lead the nation in assists. Her junior year, she came in second.
My coach at Marquette used to tell me, she said, you know, I've never understood how someone who spends so much time shooting passes up so many shots. But it was just how I worked, how I played, and kind of my personality as a basketball player.
After college, Nikki played 1 year in Greece, but she knew she'd never make it to the WNBA as a player. So she moved back in with her parents and started interviewing with companies where she could use her degree in mechanical engineering.
You know, at one place it was like, hey, you are going to be helping with this pizza making machine when it breaks down. And potentially redesigning the parking lot.
Nikki accepted a job with Motorola. She put a hold on an apartment in a high-rise with views of downtown Chicago. She was 23 years old, and she thought she had it all figured out.
And I had a call on my answering machine when I got home. This is Tom Collin. You know, I'm trying to track Nikki down. I heard she might be interested in coaching jobs. you know, I called him back and said, geez, I just took this job in engineering.
Initially, it was like, I'm not really sure I'm interested. I'm ready to move on. I said, but Nikki, I know you love basketball. Just do me this one favor. Just jump on the plane and come out here and visit this place. And I know you'll fall in love with it.
I met the team. It was like I was right back in the middle of something that I loved.
Tom was the head women's basketball coach at Colorado State University. Nikki signed on as his assistant.
She was terrific. She doesn't brag about herself a lot, but, you know, she graduated cum laude engineering, so she was very smart. She was very dedicated. You know, she wanted to learn, wanted to grow, wanted the opportunities. And so we were a good match that way because I was a coach that really wanted to empower my assistant coaches. And she did a lot of scouting, was almost really a defensive coordinator right out of the box.
So take me to the moment when you had to fire her. What went down there?
Okay, well, it was the most difficult thing in my life. I mean, I hired this young lady. I brought her out here. She's excited about being a coach. And now I have to fire her.
During her first year at Colorado State, Nikki and Tom had started dating. They'd fallen in love. Tom had asked Nikki to marry him. She'd said yes. But when Tom told the university athletic director, he said no.
Well, you know, those darn nepotism laws.
My hands were tied, you know, and I just put faith in the fact that somehow this windy road was going to lead us back, you know, to where we wanted to be, and that's working together.
And it did. A year later, after Tom and Nikki were married, the university allowed Tom to hire her back. And when Tom left Colorado State, so did Nikki.
That just kind of was the story. My husband's 21 years older than me. At that point in his career, he was further along.
For much of the next 13 years, Nikki was Tom's assistant.
And sometimes I worked and sometimes I didn't.
As Nikki followed her husband from job to job, doubts would sometimes creep in.
Do people think I'm good at my job, or do they think I got this job because I'm married to the head coach? And that really kind of was always with me because I was never able to kind of go out on my own and just have my own voice.
In 2005, while Tom and Nikki were coaching at Louisville, they decided to start a family. Nikki stepped away from the game. She had twins, a boy and a girl. 2 years later, she was pregnant again, and Tom was offered the head coaching job at Arkansas.
You know, gosh, I moved her when she was 8 months pregnant. And so the timing really wasn't best for her to come back on the floor. But I knew in the back of my mind that for me, this was my last hurrah. I knew Arkansas was my last job. When I spoke to the AD, I made it clear that I wasn't going to make this transition. I wasn't going to take this job if at some point in time, you know, that I couldn't move her back onto my staff.
The university agreed, but when Nikki was ready to get back into coaching, Tom didn't have a job opening. Nikki says she enjoyed her time with her kids, but whenever Arkansas played at home, she couldn't stop herself from shouting instructions at the players from the stands.
Bud Walton Arena, you know, seats 20,000, and even when you put 2,000 in there, you certainly can hear a loud voice. So yeah, I mean, the players all knew that I had opinions.
Tom's teams had reached the NCAA tournament 7 out of the 9 seasons he coached at Colorado State and Louisville. But in Arkansas, he went 4 years without a tournament appearance. Finally, in the summer of 2011, 6 years after Nikki had stepped away from coaching, a job opened up. Tom hired Nikki and put her in charge of the team's defense. The team improved from 86th in the country in scoring defense to 10th. They made the 2012 NCAA tournament and won their first round game. In the second round, Tom and Nikki found themselves falling behind.
Texas A&M, quite frankly, was kicking our butt at the time. And I remember at a timeout, I would always go directly into the huddle and make defensive adjustments. And for the first time, I looked at him and said, what do you think we should do? Do you think we should switch to a zone? And he said, that's what I hired you to do. Go figure it out. And I remember just kind of going, okay, thanks for the help. And turned around and made an adjustment, switched to zone. You know, we had a game-winning shot. You know, it came down to the last play.
Arkansas lost. But as Tom and Nikki went through the handshake line after the game, Gary Blair, the head coach at Texas A&M, congratulated Nikki. He said her switch to zone had befuddled his team.
it's those moments. I don't care what career you have or the work that you do, when you have those defining moments where you make a decision and it works, you know, that just continues to build your confidence that you're thinking right, you're processing right. I'm not always going to get it right, but I'm going to keep working at it.
Nikki knew she had the respect of the players at Arkansas and the fans and administration, too. She even had the respect of opposing coaches.
I still didn't know what the perception was, though, nationally. You know, people that didn't know me, people that didn't see how hard I worked, what were they thinking from the outside?
Despite the success he and Nikki were having in Arkansas, Tom was asked to resign.
I just looked at it as a sign. Okay, this is the moment in time where something good is going to happen for Nikki. I always felt like God was kind of in control of that.
Nikki wasn't so sure. Her sister had just died after a short 3-month battle with cancer. Tom had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. She thought maybe she should take a year off, spend time with her family. So she sat down with the athletic director at Arkansas to try to figure out her next move.
He said, "You just got back in. And, you know, if you can keep pushing forward in this profession, people are going to know how good you are, you know." And he even told me at the time, like, it's not as if I'm going to ask your husband to resign and then hire you to be my next head coach. Well, that's pretty awkward. But he said, "I know that ultimately you're going to be capable of being at this level."
So Nikki and Tom moved again. But this time, it wasn't to the place that was best for Tom's career. It was to the place that was best for Nikki's career. She didn't choose the most prominent team or even the team with the best record. Instead, she decided to go to Fort Myers, Florida, to work under the well-respected head coach at Florida Gulf Coast.
It was a unique opportunity for me to build a relationship, you know, with my own 2 feet and to bring ideas to the table that were very much my own. You know, I think my husband is a very, very good coach. But, you know, I had different ideas about how I would do things.
Meanwhile, Tom settled into his new role at home with the couple's 3 kids.
You know, he's definitely turned into Mr. Mom and knows the schedule and runs the calendar. And he's kind of learned to manage a totally different world.
After a year at Florida Gulf Coast, Nikki left to become an assistant for the WNBA's Connecticut Sun. Tom stayed in Florida with the kids. How has it been for you to sort of switch roles? You know, she had the years at home with the kids. Now you're doing that.
That's pretty deep. We could have an entire interview on that. I think at first, when she was an assistant at Florida Gulf Coast, it was a great sense of relief for me that I didn't have those responsibilities as a head coach anymore. I knew she was working for a great person, a successful program. They won a lot of games. But it was a part-time job for me because she was there. Now, when she jumped the WNBA and was gone for 6 months at a time, you know, my attitude probably changed a little bit. It was a little more difficult for me to be able to manage that. But I did a lot of praying about it, and I realized this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I need to embrace.
After just 2 years in Connecticut, Nikki found herself talking to a friend about making the move from assistant to head coach.
He called me and he said, "Are you interested in the Atlanta job?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm really interested in the Seattle job," you know, because who doesn't want to coach Breanna Stewart? But yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Nikki flew to Atlanta for an interview, and the Dream offered her the job that same day. After all those years as an assistant, Nikki finally had the opportunity to make the jump to head coach at the sport's highest level.
You know, it took me a few days, and I remember being asked, like, you know, why I hadn't said yes. And I said, "Well, I'm sitting here and my toes are in the water, but we all know when the water's cold, it's hard to jump in, and you just have to make that plunge." And I think the moment I made that plunge, I knew I was ready because you just wake up the next day and you start planning.
Nikki says most WNBA coaches don't live in market. They stay in temporary housing provided by the team for 6 months out of the year. But Nikki and Tom decided to move the whole family to a suburb of Atlanta so everyone could be there to support Nikki in her new role. But then came that first half of the season, the 8-8 record, that game against Seattle when Nikki felt her team was just bad.
Coming out of the locker room, Nikki Collin really encouraging her team to get into the paint, high percentage looks, share the ball, but just not enough to get it done in the fourth quarter. Seattle is really good.
Seattle, by the way, would go on to win the 2018 championship. But after that game, the Dream went on their franchise record 8-game winning streak. They won 15 of their final 17 games. Nikki was named WNBA Coach of the Month in July and again in August. Nikki says the WNBA season is intense. She barely sees her family for 6 months out of the year. But at almost every home game, Tom and their kids, the twins are now 13, the youngest 11, are in the stands cheering.
They saw me all those years. They saw me as the breadwinner and the dad, which is the typical description of a lot of families. So I think it gives our children a chance to see her through a completely different lens. They always knew that they loved her and that she was a good mother, but now they're seeing her as this successful coach, you know, as this businesswoman, as this leader and mentor.
You know, I love that I was able to be at home for them and have that nurturing relationship and be close to them. And I love that they can see that I can be good at something.
In late August, as her team was preparing for a playoff game against the Washington Mystics, Nikki Collin was named WNBA Coach of the Year. Her reaction was muted.
While I'm proud of the accomplishment, I also like, okay, can we move on? We've got a game.
Tom was a bit more emotional.
I cried. I've always known how good she was going to be once she gave the opportunity, but I always felt like she was kind of stuck in my shadow. And so for her, in her first head coaching experience, to be named the Coach of the Year in the greatest women's basketball league in the world is just an amazing accomplishment. So I was just happy and excited for her.
The Dream lost that playoff series to the Mystics, and Nikki Collin went back to chaperoning her kids' field trips and planning for next year. Nikki says the WNBA offseason is slow, at least compared to the college game. She enjoys having this time to spend with her family, and it's given her time to reflect on her journey.
You know, you see probably more men than women who have that direct stair-step path in their career, not unlike my dad. So maybe it makes me appreciate it more. I'd like to think it does, because it wasn't just this easy, simple, straight line to get where we wanted to go.
The Atlanta Dream began their 2019 season on May 24th. Vegas oddsmakers have given the team the 5th best odds to win it all.